Welcome to the June 9th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is John chapter 14, verses 18 through 27, and the sermon is entitled, The Greatest Comforter, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
I want you to grab your Bibles and go to the Gospel of John, chapter number 14 today. And as you are turning there, I want you to think of this question, who is your greatest helper? Who is your greatest helper? Right now, I want you to know the blessings of two kids, of two teenage boys, is right now I have two great helpers to me. Teenage boys are great helpers because I'm dad, I get to say, hey, I need you to do this. And when they say, oh, dad, I can say, I need you to do this. And when they say, oh, dad, I can say, you're going to do this. Most of us have help like that. Maybe you can relate to that. Our helper comes when we need them. Our helper may not even show up. I'm told in the job market today, it is hard to find help. Now, I want to ask you today, Christian, do you know that you have a helper? There are many times that we go through life and we experience trials and we go through battles and we think, oh, we are fighting this all alone. If you get nothing from the sermon today and you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you write these words down, I have help. I want you to know that greater than a phone call to a friend, greater than a phone call to the pastor, is when we hit our knees and go before a holy God and just surrender and say, God, I need your help. Maybe today there is a situation that you can relate to, or maybe there is a point in your life that God is leading that you desire help. One of my greatest helps, I'm not a mechanic, I'm not a lot of things, and I'm not a mechanic, but YouTube is a great help when it comes to working on your car. And I have some friends that I can call on and say, hey, what do I need to do if this happens? I want you to know, when you're in the thick of the battle, the thick of life, you have questions about ministry or you have questions, I have people that I can call for that. But there is no greater help than the Holy Spirit. And so today, as we continue on in this series of the greatest that we are looking at, I want to look today at the great comforter or the great helper that is none other than the Holy Spirit. We have been told about the Holy Spirit. Maybe you have read about the Holy Spirit. Here's what I want you to understand. The Holy Spirit is nothing to be scared of. He has been given to us as that comforter, as that friend, as that guide. And today from Scripture, I want us to look at this great help together. So with nothing else to say, let's go to God's Word. John chapter number 14, and you know these words in the beginning of the chapter, but let's go to verse number 16 together as we begin our study today. Here's what God's word says, 16 through 18. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, thank you for your word. And Lord, today as we look throughout this scripture today, God, thank you for the opportunity to lean into your word. And God, I pray as we look to you, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be active at work in our lives, even in this moment of worship. God, thank you that you are the one through the Holy Spirit that draws the heart to yourself, that saves us. And God, you are the one that guides the believer and convicts the believer. And so just today in this worship service, God, we pray that you would work and that you would open eyes in our hearts to the great help that you are to us. Thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit, for being the third person of the Trinity. And God, we lean on you today to guide and direct us in your word as we look to it now in Jesus' name. Amen. The first point that I want to give you as we talk about the great comforter today is this. As we think about the Holy Spirit, you have the promise of His presence. The promise of His presence. Now, I don't know about you, but yesterday, I'll use that for an example. My family was away, and I was at home. And as you look at me, you probably look, Pastor Jeffrey, you are so busy. You got a lot of people. You know a lot of people. You grew up this. Yesterday, I found myself all alone. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing, okay? But here's what I want you to realize. If you ever think that you're going through this world by yourself, that is not true, believer. You have someone that is ever present with you. As Jesus is speaking in these verses, He understands this. As the God-man, man himself needs help. And He also understands this. He is leaving. He's got to go to a cross and He's got to pay the penalty for sin. And so mankind needs help. And I am guilty as a man in this fashion that I do not, and I don't say this pridefully, I do not like to ask for help. There are many times that I've led ministry in the mindset of this, that if nobody will come and nobody will join me, I will just do it by myself. And that is not the sign of a good leader. You cannot do it alone. And men, maybe you need to hear it from me today. It's okay to say, I need help. Moms, mothers, females, it's okay to say, I need help. But the promise of the presence of God, because Jesus knows this, His days are winding down, and He prays to the Father to provide another parakletos, another comforter, another helper, an advocate, an intercessor, and Jesus recognizes the need for help. And so He says this, I will send it. The Father will send it. Look at verse number 16, if you will. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter. That word is parakletos there. That He may abide with you forever. That Holy Spirit. We often think of that as maybe we don't know the fullness of the Spirit. And maybe we get scared of it. Or we're afraid to talk about it. And I'm not here to preach a series on the Holy Spirit. But here's what I want you to know. The Holy Spirit is that third leg of the person of God. It is nothing to be afraid of. It is something that we as believers must depend on and must realize that He is ever present with us. When we think about God and those who believe in God, the believer has the promise of the presence of God Almighty once they are saved. You have the promise of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so, when we think about that, we may at times wonder and question, are we in this alone? But look at verse number 17, it says this, even the Spirit of truth, that is the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. That's a big verse. We could spend all day on that verse, but I don't want to. Here's what that verse says. The beginning half of the verse says this. If you are not a believer, you do not know the Holy Spirit. You cannot have that help. You do not have that helper that is promised because you cannot see God. You do not see God for who He is. But the end of that verse promises the believers two things, that the Holy Spirit dwells with you, and the Holy Spirit shall be in you. And knowing that, verse number 18 then says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. So believer today, the promise of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life is one that you must lean into and that you must depend on every single day. God is with you. God is in you. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. I have not lost anybody yet, have I? All right, we are moving forward quickly here today. But today, you're not alone. You're not an orphan. You are not comfortless. Here is the promise of God as the believer. You have a great comforter through the Holy Spirit. Look at verses 19 through 21. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. The second point today through the Holy Spirit is you have the promise of access. The promise of access. I don't know about you, but sometimes when you really want to get a hold of somebody, have you ran into the time where you try to get somebody and you just couldn't do it? I told my mom sometimes, if mom, if I need to get to you, if I need you, I'm not going to call you because you never answer the phone. Your phone's always in the car or on the charger or turned off. I can't call you when I need you. That's not true. My mom knows I call her a lot. My family knows that I talk to my mama every day, okay? I'm a mama's boy. I'm not ashamed of that. Don't hold that against me, church, okay? So, that being said, if my life was on the line, I've got to phone another friend. That's what I'm saying. But when we think of God in our minds, in some of our minds, we think we serve this great big God that he is so busy with so many things and so many other people that he doesn't have time for us. And I'm going to say this. Some of you view your pastor that way, and that's not true either. If you need somebody, who are you calling? Do you know that you have access to God Almighty through the Holy Spirit? Don't think that that problem is so big and God has forgotten about you and God has left you. Jesus tells his disciples this, there is only a little time left. Look at verse number 19. Do you see those words? Yet a little while, the world seeth me and the world will see me no more. Do you see that? I've only got a little time left. How many of us can relate to that? And in this little time that we have left, here's what I want Christians in this church that are listening today to understand. Depend on God. You have access to God the Father through the Holy Spirit. As we see these words of Jesus, he is identifying himself with God Almighty throughout these verses that we have seen. And it is the promise. It is the promise that the Spirit is coming. I am leaving. I will not leave you comfortless, but I will not forget about you. Help is on the way. Look at verse number 20. At that day, now if you go fast forward in your Bibles and read the beginning of Acts, you will read about the day of Pentecost, and this is what that day is pointing to. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. There is the connection that Jesus is making, not only with God the Father, but with his disciples as they rely on him, as they depend on the Holy Spirit. They have a connection to God Almighty. Jesus promises his love and his Father's love. And here's what he says in verse number 21. Look there. He says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Do you see that? If you obey and follow my word, it is you that love me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. I will show myself. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand today, but here's the question I have for you. How many of you love Jesus? Look, some of you didn't listen. I didn't ask you. You raised your hand anyway. It's okay. That doesn't mean those that didn't raise their hand don't love Jesus. But here's what we know. When we come to church, if I ask you to raise your hand if you love Jesus, 99.9% of the hands would all raise. How many of you love Jesus knowing that you have access to God Almighty through his Son and through the Holy Spirit? Amen? We know that. So we know we have access to God. But I want to share one verse from John chapter 16, verse number 7. Here's what he says. Jesus says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Jesus says, I must go. I must go to that cross, and I've got to die. I've got to give my life for the sin of the world. But as I go, I will not leave you alone, and I will not leave you comfortless. I will send help. Today, just because Jesus left doesn't mean that he was abandoning mission or aborting the disciples. It meant this, that the Holy Spirit would come. And that through that Holy Spirit, they would have access to God. It continues on. Look at verse number 22 through 26. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The third point today is this, that as we think about the great teacher and the great comforter is this, we have the promise of teaching. The promise of teaching. How many of you in this room think that I've done this long enough, I don't need God's help? That is a bitter spirit. I have met people like that in the world that think, I don't need God. And more than likely, they aren't believers. But you're never too old to learn. I had someone remind me at a wedding yesterday that you can still teach old dogs new tricks. And I'm not here to teach you a new trick, and I'm not here to call you old either today. But here's what I want you to know. We all could stand to grow in the Lord, to continue to learn and to continue to be taught by the greatest teacher of them all, God Almighty. Jesus is instructing, and Judas, now note, it says not Iscariot. So there is another Judas in the mix, and it is who we would call Thaddeus in that group of disciples. But as he poses this thoughtful question, how are we going to see you, and how's the world not going to see you? How will we be able to see you and the world not see you? And so I don't want you to miss this. Go back to verse number 23. Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Now, I'm going to stop right there. That's pretty self-explanatory. If you love me, you're going to obey my word. Do you know what the word is? Right here. So I'm going to preach. I'm going to talk to Christians real quick. If we say we love Jesus, we must obey this. To the best of our abilities, it has to match up. If we say we love him, it's got to match up. Look at verse 23 again. And my Father will love him. Look at this next word. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So a man that loves the Lord, that loves Jesus, these disciples, as they are going through that, they say, yes, we love you. You know we love you. Yeah, yes, Jesus, we love you. Well, if you say you love me, then your life must match up. And if you say you love me, here's what will happen. I and the Father, we will come unto you. And we will make, as verse number 23 says, we will make our abode with you. Now, I know that, I don't know which version of the Bible you're using, but in the original Greek, here's what I want you to do, and you have to get this point. Put your finger on that word abode in verse number 23. Do you see that word? Put your finger there. And then I want to take you to another very familiar scripture in John chapter 14. And you can look there if you have your Bibles open. Do not move your finger, okay? Leave your finger there in verse number 23. Go to John 14, verse number 2. Just look there. Here's what Jesus says, and you know these. You may not even have to look at your Bible. In my Father's house are many. All right, church, you're not excited about that as I am, okay? In my Father's house are many mansions. Some versions use room. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to put your other finger on the word mansion or room. And in the Greek form, those two words are the same. So here's what I want to ask you. Look at me. Keep your fingers there. Keep your eyes on me. The most important place in John 14, in our minds as believers, we can't wait to get that mansion or that room or that place in heaven. Amen? But before you can get that room, Jesus must occupy the room of your heart. The most important room in John chapter 14 is that room that has been made for Jesus Christ to live in your heart. John 14, 23, Jesus must have a place. Before you have a place in heaven, Jesus must have a place in your heart. And so today, here is the invitation in three quarters of the way through the service. If Jesus doesn't have room in your heart, ask Him to come in today. Clear out those days. Ask Him to forgive your sin. Repent and turn from it. And that will make room for Jesus to begin His work. Trust the finished work of Christ on the cross to die and to pay for your sin. That is the invitation today. Make room in your heart so that you can be prepared for the room in heaven. I get excited about a mansion. I like the word mansion, okay? That's the closest thing I'll ever get. And here's the reality. Jesus has to take care of both of those rooms. There's nothing that we can do. Don't you dare leave here and say, I'm not ready. I've got to get things cleaned up. I've got to get finished sowing my wild oats. If you leave here today without making room for Jesus in your heart, you're leaving not promised either of these rooms. So when we think of the promise of teaching, we think of a place that makes room that we can grow and that we can learn and of the Lord. And we invite the great Comforter into our life. We ask the Holy Spirit to change us. You are not looking at a perfect man, but you are looking at a man that day by day seeks God to continue to make me more like Himself. And that is the goal that I pray for every one of us today, that we desire to be taught and we desire to learn more and we desire the Holy Spirit to live in us and change us from the inside out. And that's how God does that work. So today, when we think about the Holy Spirit, we think about a Holy Spirit that knows everything, that is omniscient. We think about a God that is everywhere or omnipresent. We think about a Holy Spirit that is described as convicting, and that the Holy Spirit reveals truth, and that He gives wisdom, and that He intercedes, and that He gifts us the fruits of the Spirit that we read about in Galatians chapter number 5. That cannot be done in your own doing. That is a gifting of the Holy Spirit. And so when we see that, we understand those spiritual gifts and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we know that the Holy Spirit empowers, as we see in Acts chapter 1, and that He is an active present in our temple and in the world. But in verse number 26, before I move on, there are two specific tasks of the Holy Spirit, and that is this. Look at verse number 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So today, the giftings or the responsibility of the Holy Spirit as teacher means that He guides our lives to help us understand the truth in Christ. And when we understand that, and as we grow and as we read Scripture, we are able to apply that through the Holy Spirit's help to our lives. Now, the second part of this I really like. the promise to bring to remembrance. I don't know about you, but at 40, almost 42, my mind is not good. But there are times where you go into situations where you say, I don't know what to say. Have you ever been in that situation? I don't have the word. And you just pray, okay, Lord, you have to give me the word. And all of a sudden, scripture comes to mind and things come to mind that you're able to share with those people that are hurting. And so what the promise to the disciples here is that he's going to bring all things to remembrance. And that's great for them. Because Jesus was leaving, he would no longer be there, and the Holy Spirit would bring these things enabled that when the time comes, they would remember and they would be able to record, and it would empower their minds and their thoughts. It would be a protection of the truth and a promise from the teacher that he would leave. That point number three, to be taught, is a very important lesson for all of us. There's one more lesson, and it comes from verse number 27. Look there with me now. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The fourth promise out of the Holy Spirit today is this, is the promise of peace. The promise of peace. Remember that question of Judas? Jesus says, how are you going to manifest myself? And Judas says, how are you going to do that? How are you going to manifest yourself to us? And though as he began to explain that, Jesus promises the Comforter will be the one. As he leaves, he's leaving that helper behind, but he's also leaving his peace with us. When we think about the word peace, Irene is the Greek word. Maybe you know the Hebrew form of that, shalom. It was used as a greeting, but that peace is more of a greeting. It is a mindset. It is an inner peace that we all need. Maybe today that is something that you desire. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but maybe today in this room, is there somebody that doesn't have peace about something? Here's the promise from God that he will give it to us. And so we must turn to him, and we must depend on him. And we must look at his word, as Romans 5:1 tells us, that by faith we can have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of you know from Romans that we are commanded to live peaceably with all men if possible. So God desires peace. And so today, if your life is turmoil, maybe it's like that storm that you all read about as the boat is going through, and Jesus spoke peace to even a storm. If Jesus is worried about a whirlwind, he's worried about you. And so today, if you desire peace, it comes through the work of the Holy Spirit. The Bible speaks of peace. It commands peace. It offers peace. And yet our world is made up of so much conflict and trouble. And then we look at the world and we say, okay, God, if you're a God of peace, why has all of this happened? The world doesn't know Jesus, so we can't expect peace there. But when people look into the church or look into the believer's life, they should be able to pinpoint the peace of God. I'm going to go back one more time to the beginning of John chapter 14 and just let you hear this reminder, because it is the same way that we're ending today. Jesus opens up chapter number 14 by saying this, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Fast forward that to verse number 27, the ending of it. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. As Jesus was getting ready to go to that cross, here is the greatest words to his disciples. Don't you dare be troubled. I'm sending you a comforter. I'm sending you a teacher. I'm sending you a guide. I'm sending someone to help you. Don't forget that. So today, if you are in this room and you are a believer, today I want you to cling on to that great truth from God that we have seen today, that you have the promise of his presence, that you have promised to access to God Almighty, that you have the promise of a teacher, and that you have the promise of peace that will lead you in the troubled times. Maybe today there's someone today that is not a believer. And here's what I want to encourage you, as I have already given you the invitation. Right now, if you're not a believer and you are in this, this is not Jeffrey twisting your hand. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. You are sitting where you are and you are knowing, I'm uncomfortable, this is awkward, and something needs to happen. I did that about 20 years ago. On the second row of my home church, and I said, God, I'm not dealing with you today. You're dealing with me, but I'm not ready. And God put me on my knees and brought me to Himself. Today, if God is dealing with you, don't shrug it off and leave this sanctuary and say, no, God, I'll deal with it another time. Inside of you, listen to me, if you are an unbeliever, inside of you, chaos is happening. Outside, it might look perfectly all right. But inside, there is a battle that is raging. And God wants to give you the ultimate peace. Come in and move into your life, into that room, and to order your life from the inside out. Today, will you open that door and will you allow Him to come in and save you? Today, if you are experiencing that, my prayer is this: God Almighty is the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer through the forgiveness of sin and what He paid on the cross for your forgiveness and for my forgiveness and for life eternal. Today, will you surrender the room of your heart to Jesus if you have that turmoil? Believer, maybe there's an area that we need to surrender as well, and that we need to depend on the Holy Spirit to work. We do that now. May we pray. Father God, Lord, we thank You for this day, Lord, and we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the promise of the great Comforter. And God, my prayer is this, Lord, as we come today, Lord, that You will continue to lead us, to lead our church, and to teach us, and to grow us more like Yourself. God, thank You that You are everywhere, that You are all-knowing, and that You are everywhere and You're ever-present with us. And Lord, just as You are moving along this place today, God, my prayer is that You are working on every heart that is represented. Lord, today for that believer, Lord, convict us and bring us to that moment and to that recognition that we need to change. God, help us to be more like You. For that unbeliever today, God, I would pray, Lord, right now You do Your work. And Lord, we will give You the glory as room is made for You. God, thank You for what You're going to do. And we give You this moment of invitation. And we pray that You lead us now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.